following message is from New Life Gillette series, All In. This week, Pastor Mike kicks off this series.
You probably already know this, but New Life has been a backbone of Gillette for many decades. Not very many of you were around in these days of New Life. This lobby out here was like the only part of the church. I've got a couple waves of people who were here back then, but not very many of you were, but it was the incredible faithful actions of people back then that got us to where we are today. None of us get to take credit for this. Go to the next picture. About 27 years ago, there were some people who decided that they were going to build what was at the time the largest auditorium in the state of Wyoming. We're sitting in it. It's not quite the largest anymore, but it still seats about 1,100 people. The problem is that when they built this, they created this as phase one. There was going to be another phase where they were going to add children's space as we grew into this space. They built a room that they couldn't fill yet, expecting to eventually fill it. And we are happy they did. Well, 27 years later, phase two really hasn't happened yet, and we're kind of feeling the pressure. And so their incredible faithfulness has brought us to where we are today, and it is time for us to take the next step. Because New Life has been because New Life was faithful, God blessed those actions and brought us where we are today. Anyone here grow up going to a city pool? Okay, not very many of you. Well, some of you. More than first service. You must be a young group, more fun group. I grew up going to the city pool, and my city pool was really more just like a big concrete slab. I grew up in Olathe, Kansas. I just met somebody first service who told me she also grew up going to this pool, and so that's pretty awesome, but it's pretty much just a big concrete slab. The only real attraction of the pool that I grew up going to was a high dive. And all I remember is that this high dive was massive. In fact, it was too massive. 90% of kids were way too scared to ever even look at the high dive, let alone jump off of it. And so Black Bob Pool was a scary place, because if you consider the like concrete bumpy bottom that destroyed the bottoms of your feet, it was just a scary place. But it was our pool, so we loved going to the pool. That is to say, until the scariest of all things happened, and that is when the head lifeguard would come over the loudspeakers and he would say, next slide, adult swim. You know what adult swim meant? It meant all the kids, you got to get out, sit on the cold side and maybe go get a snack, but you only got a couple quarters so you can buy one thing. It'll be gone quick or whatever. And just sit there bored while all the parents get to show off and swim around in the pool, right? And it wasn't that much fun watching them show off in the pool, but apparently they had to do it to walk around and make sure there was no dead kids in the pool. And so usually there was no dead kids in the pool. And so we would get to the next stage in the process, and they would say, all swim. And what would happen when they would say all swim? Tidal wave. Like every kid in the world goes rushing towards a pool. At the same time, they say no running, but there is not enough human beings in the world to stop all the running. Rush to the pool, tidal wave, all swim. We are all in, right? New Life's last remodel project, building project, this room we're in, was an adult swim. And as a result of that last project, it helped us to grow, but at the same time, we've just kind of had to put some band-aids on the rest of the building so that that kind of part of the building could kind of handle the growth of this part of the building. We've ended up with classrooms that are really just hallways that we stuck a wall on and put a door in and said it was a classroom. We've never had air conditioning really in any of our classroom spaces. We've kind of stuck some of these individual units, but they don't really circulate air, and poopy diapers stink, and this doesn't help with that at all. And about a third of our building doesn't have air conditioning. About a fifth of our building does not have heating. And you know, in Gillette, Wyoming, that kind of makes ministry a little bit difficult this time of the year. And so, because of that, that's why I say the last remodel project was an adult swim. It was for the adults. And that was necessary to get us to this stage. But it's time for an all swim, because we say here at New Life that whoever wants the next generation most will get them. Whoever wants the next generation most will get them. And I believe that has to be us. Now, marketers are trying hard. I have a marketing degree, and let me just tell you what they teach you in your marketing classes is get the next generation. That's what it's all about. That's where the money is. If you can get the next generation, you win the game. So they're marketing in a way that they are hoping will capture the hearts and imaginations and dreams of the next generation. And this is why famous actors and Justin Bieber's and political parties and all of this has captured the imaginations and dreams. I don't even know if Justin Bieber's cool anymore, whatever. But they've captured the imaginations of our kids, right? This is why there is a movement of people flocking to politics, of young people. Because somebody captured their imagination. I'm not okay with anybody other than the Christian church capturing their imaginations. Because at New Life, we figured out something that works when we started focusing on this come as you are phrase. No matter who you are, no matter your background, no matter what you do for a living, come as you are. And it worked. And people came. And that makes sense that that would work, because Jesus unleashed the church to invite everyone to follow him. Everyone. Everybody is welcome. Whether you're a kid, whether you're in a wheelchair. Right now, we don't have options for those people. So we just kind of say, everybody's welcome except for this people. This is happening here. As we've told people that you are welcome, people are coming. But that means we have to then take our stated mission statement and allow it to be shown in the way we do ministry. And that means making space and prioritizing those people. In this case, we're talking about prioritizing kids. And that's a good thing, because Jesus told us to do that. The problem is that Jesus lived in a time when people didn't prioritize kids. In fact, when Jesus lived, 6 out of 10 children died before the age of 16. As a result, kids didn't really have any value. It was kind of a survival of the fittest things, and the one that earn value and the ones that survive and the ones that do something for society over time will gain value. But as a child, you have not earned any value yet. And Jesus steps onto the scene and he's like, hold on, you got it backwards. The kids are our future. We've got to invest in these kids. They don't just have value. They're not just important. They may be more important. We see this in a story where Jesus is interacting with a big crowd of people. It says, then people brought their little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. Why do you think people were bringing their kids to Jesus? What was their motivation? Jesus healed people. Actually, just before this, in the story right before this, Jesus has just healed a bunch of people. He's healing blind people. He's helping lame people walk. He's doing all these cool things. And people are seeing this, and that people are like, that's cool. I don't know what that is, or I don't understand what he's teaching. And some of that stuff's really weird, like dunk people underwater and make them eat his body and drink his blood. That stuff's weird, but that guy's got power. And that power is irresistible. I want my children near that. I want my children to experience that. And they lived in a time where they believed that any ailment or anything wrong with a child or anything negative that happened to a child was a result of the sins of the parent or somebody who was raising the child. And so they're thinking, if we can just get these kids to Jesus, then it'll like balance out all of our sins. And maybe our kids will survive when others are not. So they were bringing their kids to Jesus because they believed he had something to offer them. If people believe Jesus has something to offer their kids, then they will bring their kids to Jesus. So here's the question. Do we portray Jesus in such a way that he is attractive to people? That he is irresistible to people, that he is appealing to people? Because if not, then we are not portraying Jesus at all. If we are not talking about a Jesus who's irresistible, then we're not talking about Jesus at all. Because when Jesus lived, people flocked to him. He was surrounded by crowds of people who are climbing up in trees to see him or doing anything they can. They're knocking holes in roofs to lower people down to him. They're doing anything they can to get to Jesus because Jesus was irresistible. Is that the Jesus we talk about? So Jesus turns, and here's the crazy thing. The disciples should know all this, right? They're around Jesus all the time. They see how Jesus prioritizes kids. They see the power that Jesus has. But here's what they're thinking. Jesus, you've got an opportunity. The rich people, they want to meet with you. The political leaders, they want to meet you. The religious leaders, they want to meet with you. So prioritize them. They're the powerful ones. They're the rich ones. They're the ones that have influence. Go prioritize them. You don't have time for the kids. So the disciples are rebuking the people who are bringing their kids. Get away. Jesus only has time for important people. And Jesus says, let the children come to me. Do we believe that Jesus has something to offer our kids? If we do, how is there anything more important than bringing them to him? These parents wanted Jesus to bless their kids because they believed that kids, they died because of the sins of their parents. So we got to figure out something, some power. Jesus got to do something for my kids. And maybe he can because nobody else can. And Jesus says, don't stop them. Let them come. Let them come. Make space for them. Make room for them. Push the adults out of the way. Make room for the kids. Don't get in their way. Because these kids need me. And the cool thing is, they don't just need me, but they are young enough that cynicism and doubt has not overtaken them to the point where they won't hear what I teach them. They're more likely to hear what I say and actually put it into practice. They're more likely to hear what I'm teaching and actually begin to follow me. So don't stop them. They're the future. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these kids. So not only should you not push them away, you should be like them. And I think Jesus in this moment was a little frustrated with his disciples because just the chapter before this, right before this, we read another story where Jesus says the same thing. Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. So again, Jesus is teaching a big crowd of adults and he pushes the adults aside and he brings a kid into focus. He prioritizes a kid. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become more like them. What are you talking about? More like them? They have no value. Become like little children. You will never get into the kingdom of heaven otherwise. Jesus is talking about childlike faith. Jesus is talking about the faith of the children or the teens that we've just baptized. People who are willing to just kind of say, I know it may be weird to be dunked underwater. I know it may be weird to do the stuff Jesus tells us to do, but I need purpose in my life. I need hope and I need love and joy in my life. And what everybody else is offering is not bringing those things. I'll try Jesus. And so they're willing to give them. And we adults have built up so much cynicism over time. We've sinned and we've seen things and we've struggled and we've seen loved ones die and those type of things. And we've just kind of built up cynicism and we're just kind of like, I don't believe anything anymore. Kids don't have that barrier. Then he said, so anyone who becomes as humble as the little children is the greatest, not the least, not even as valuable, is more valuable, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Kids aren't only as valuable as adults. They are more valuable in adults. They have more of a future. They are the ones who are more likely to start this movement that Jesus came to earth to introduce. They will accomplish the mission that Jesus commanded us to, and we can try to help them out. We can try to like join them in this movement, but who starts every movement? It's usually the youth. So why aren't we investing in them? If we really believe in the mission and not just in what we can get out of it, not just in our preferences and not just in what we like, If we really are in this for the movement, if we're really in this for the mission, then we would invest in them before we make ourselves comfortable. And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. When we bring children to Jesus, when we introduce children to Jesus, when we make room for these kids, we are doing what Christ told Christians to do. You were recreated into a new purpose to lead people to Jesus. And this is our primary means of doing that, bringing our children to Him. But if you cause one of these little children who trusts in me to fall into sin, if you get in their way, if you keep them from coming to me, if you don't do everything you can to reach the next generation, then it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Ouch. This verse is one that is hard for me to hear. Like when Jesus uses this extreme language, like, it would be better for you to die than to not make space for kids. I'm like, Jesus, that's a little overboard, right? Jesus has a tendency to exaggerate. But can I show you something I'm wrestling with? We hired a company recently to tell us how much square footage we need just for the kids we have. How many square feet of classrooms do we need for the kids who show up on Sunday mornings? And we kind of knew that we were over that. Like, I've taken my kid to the nursery multiple times, seen how many kids were in there, and just like, we'll go hang out in my office. That's too many people for a small room. So we kind of knew we had a problem, but we hired some experts who would then tell us, okay, here's how many square feet you have. Here's how many you need. There's a big discrepancy there. So this is what they come up with. The green line here is the recommended maximum capacity. In other words, that is the, you should never reach that line. Or maybe just barely reach it on your biggest Sundays. You should never go over that line. This is your maximum capacity. So the green line, these are all of our classrooms, and these are the maximum capacity of each of these classrooms. The yellow line is our average attendance in each of those rooms. In other words, more than half of our kids' classrooms are averaging more kids than our maximum capacity. Somebody needs to go, oh, that's a problem. Because that means, yes, there are some Sundays when we don't have quite our maximum capacity. It's comfortable in there. But that also means that we have what these blue lines represent are our largest services, where we have almost twice as many kids in a classroom as what its maximum capacity is. That's not healthy. And that is not making room for kids. That's not okay. We are not okay with this anymore. Because when you think about it, when do most of our visitors come? On our largest Sundays. So when a first-time visitor comes in, the only thing they see is the nursery on its biggest Sundays. Do you think they're coming back? Do you think they're seeing what I go see when I go to drop off Lincoln and deciding, yes, I'm going to prioritize church. I'm going to have them in church and the nursery every single Sunday? No. There's no room for my kid. The goal of All In is to introduce more kids to Jesus. And so our goal is not only to make more space for the kids we have. That's important. But we've also got to think forward, right? We also have to believe that doing this will then bring more children to Jesus, will then make more, will make space and make Jesus as irresistible as we believe he should be. Because Jesus says, let them come. Don't stop them or else. I've noticed a trend lately that you've probably noticed too around Gillette. And it's companies knocking down perfectly nice buildings to build new ones. Like First Interstate Bank, they didn't knock anything down, but they were in this building down the street. And I've gone into that building 100 times, never thought there's anything wrong with that building. It works just fine. And then they decide, you know what? We're going to build a brand new, beautiful building just a couple blocks down the street on the same road. What? Why? McDonald's builds this new, beautiful restaurant across town. And then they knock down the old one. You're like, okay, so they were just doing the same thing First Interstate Bank. No, they went to the next level. They knocked down the old one and they built a brand new one in the same exact place. Why? because somebody got paid a bunch of money to do some research. And here's the conclusion they came to. They came to the conclusion that if we had a new space, if we made room, if we made it a little bit more attractive, more people would come. And we're in the business of more people coming. We are in the business of attracting new people because that's the only way we make revenue, right? Well, church, what else do we got to do? What is our mission? What have we been called to? We have been called to lead people to Jesus. We've been called to the same mission. They concluded through their research that more people would come to him or would come to them if they changed their facilities. All in, we'll do that. It will create space and it will create excitement. So, back to the city pool. The city pool I grew up going to was decent. But again, I told you about that high dive and the scary high dive. And so I was thinking back about that high dive and I thought, you know what, I'm going to Google it to see when I talk about this on Sunday morning, was that high dive really as high as I remember or was I just a little scaredy cat? And so I went and Googled the name of the pool. The name of the pool is Black Bob Pool. Yeah, I thought it was a weird name too. I'm just hoping it was not built by a black guy named Bob, because that would be weird. Black Bob Pool. So I go Google it, and this is what pops up. That is not the pool I grew up going to. That is not the concrete slab that I grew up going to. In fact, they changed the name of it. It is now no longer Black Bob Pool. They now call it Black Bob Bay. Fancy. Now it's got a lazy river and slides and this cool toddler pool and a wading thing and an Olympic-sized pool and all these diving boards and all this awesomeness. And I hate these kids that they get to go there. And I had to rip up the bottoms of my feet on that concrete thing, right? And that is not fair. But why do they do this? They did this because somebody said, if we build it, they will come. Somebody said, the high dive's not cutting it. If we want revenue, we got to attract kids. How are we going to attract kids? We're going to spend millions of dollars building a giant slide. They came to the conclusion that investing in their facilities would attract people that old, tired facilities wouldn't. So it's not only about creating space for the kids we have. It's also about attracting new ones. They, Black Bob Bay, were all in for kids because they had to be. That was their livelihood. And I'm sure there were parents who were saying, ah, the pool is fine. My kid jumps off that high dive. We don't need a fancy slide in a lazy river. My kid loves the pool. They probably said something like, it's good enough. When I was a kid, we had to walk uphill both ways to get... Yes, when Black Bob Pool was there, there were 10% of kids who said, I'll dive off that diving board. They were the all-in kids, the kids who were just like, it doesn't matter. I have unlimited bravery. That concrete slab is just fine for me. But there was another 90% of kids who would say, yeah, I'd go if. I mean, that's just not, it's not doing it for me. Whoever wants the next generation most will get them. If we want to continue this movement that Jesus unleashed, we can only do it by capturing the hearts and imaginations in the next generation. I believe this is us. If we want millennials, what do you think? I'm a millennial of young kids. What do you think matters more to millennials than anything else in their lives? Wi-Fi. The new building will have Wi-Fi too. They're kids. That's all we care about. Like, all we cared about before kids was ourselves. And then we had kids and we're like, okay, we're taking this helicopter parent thing to a whole nother level. What? How many iPads you want? What? Like, what? That's our temptation. We love our kids. We'll give anything to our kids. So if we want to reach millennials, who, by the way, are no longer teenagers, We've got to get their kids. If we want to reach grandparents, we're not going to do it by singing more hymns. Because the church sang a lot of hymns for a long time and they all left. The only way we capture the imaginations in the hearts of the grandparents is by capturing the imagination in the hearts of their grandkids. The next generation. This is how movement works. This is how Jesus did it, and this is how we've been called to do it. Invest in the future. Because whoever wants the next generation most will get them. So we've developed a plan that we think will do this. We're not knocking down the whole thing. We're adding on, and we're remodeling some areas. We're going to create some more space in our coffee shop, and we're going to add on a shop to raise funds for our missions, and we're going to increase our lobby space. We are doubling the size almost of our nurseries. We are almost doubling the size of our kids' classrooms. We're also doing this crazy thing where we're adding on a playground, an indoor playground on the front of the building. We're adding a new family entrance. So instead of walking up the hill to then walk down the stairs or drop off your kids and then walk back up the stairs and then across the lobby and back across the lobby and back across the lobby, you're just going to be able to enter the building on the first level. Won't that be awesome? So why would we build an indoor playground? Because we live in Gillette, Wyoming. And outdoor playgrounds are valuable at least twice a week or month, a year. And we want kids. We want to attract kids. So, new lifers, those of you who've decided, I'm all in for this Christian thing. I don't know about the all-in building project yet. That'll come later. But I'm all in for this Christian thing. Here's my request to you, is that you'll join us in a journey of talking to God, of praying, of seeking God and asking him how you should participate in this spiritual journey. And I'm not saying, I mean, at some point we're going to ask for commitments, and a lot of people are going to make commitments to give like monthly or biweekly or bi-monthly or however that stuff works for a three-year period, because we got to raise $1.25 million. That's a lot of money. And it's not going to be one person writing a big check. That's why we called it all in. Everybody's going to have to pitch in. And so we're going to make these commitments. And so that's a big part of it. But our goal in this is not a fundraiser. That sounds so boring, and I am not a part of that. Our goal is not adding square footage because we're bored. We're on a mission. We're on a spiritual journey. So seeking God is how we start our spiritual journeys. And then listen to whatever he says. Whatever steps he's asking you to take, listen to hear what he says and then obey. Whatever his response is, do what he tells you to do. Because we're not just doing this on the side. And we call this all in because we know that to make it happen, it's going to require all of us to go all in. It's going to require all of us to do something a little bit uncomfortable. And sometimes we get kind of stuck in a spot. We kind of like where we are. And I did the Dave Ramsey thing now, and I can pay my bills now. I'm fine. Don't change anything. Or whatever it is. But sometimes we've got to decide the comfort area is not okay anymore. It may be time for me to do something a little bit uncomfortable and go all in. Big reason why we named this series All In, because I think it communicates this message of it's not going to be easy. It's not going to just be a small thing. It's going to take all of us. If I can, I'd just like to show you a couple pictures of what it's going to look like. We're going to have a new main entrance, and that's going to provide space for our adults. But to be honest with you, that's just kind of, we're not doing a lot for adults. We're going to create a new less sloped entryway and create some help with that, some new lighting and things like that, a new volunteer entrance into the new coffee shop on the south side. On the north side, on the south side, we're adding a new family entrance where families will be able to just enter on the lower level straight into the kid lobby and check in their kids and then come upstairs after that. So I talked to you earlier about some people who invested a lot to bring us to where we are here 27 years ago. It's our turn. We think this is what it looks like. And so we're asking you to go all in. This last week I was in Vegas, not for fun. We tried to have a little bit of fun. Didn't work out too well. But we were there for meetings at a church. And so we had hired some people who were going to watch our kids in the church nurseries for during our meetings. And so we show up the first morning to drop off my sons. I have two sons, Lincoln and Titus, and Lincoln's the older one. We walk into this nursery and we were a little confused because it was just a big open room and they had some kids' decorations on the walls and stuff, but nothing really to do. And so my wife said to the person that would be watching our kids, is there toys or anything like that in this nursery? They said, oh yeah, don't worry about it. There'll be plenty to do. We'll have some fun. Okay, Lincoln, go play. We go up to our meeting and about an hour and a half later, 2 hours later, Darcy needs to feed our youngest infant. And so Darcy goes downstairs to get Titus and she sees Lincoln is sitting over in a corner Indian style, just kind of looking at the ground. Until he looked up and he saw Darcy and he just broke into tears, just bawling, couldn't hold it in any longer. So he runs over to Darcy and he pulls her down and he whispers in his ear, he said, I'm trying so hard to be brave. And then he goes on to just say, there's nothing to do and that kid over there is mean and that type of stuff and all that conversation. And so we made it through that morning, but we got to go back that night for some meetings. So we decide, you know what, we're going to buy a toy because I don't know about your three-year-old, but my three-year-old likes to play with things when he's in a room. So we bought our three-year-old a truck to play with while he's in the nursery that night. So we drop him off at the nursery and guess what happens when one kid in the room has toys and none of the other kids do? Vroom! They attack. Tidal wave! He's got a toy! Run! One of the boys knocked my son over and he smacks his head on the wall and he's still trying to hold onto his truck and that's a nightmare situation and he's terrified, shaking, doesn't want to stay in the room or whatever. And we're supposed to go back the next morning. Guess who did not go back the next morning to the conference? My son and my wife. So here's my question. Do you think if I happen to be in Vegas looking for a church on a Sunday morning to take my kids to and my family to, do you think I'm picking that church? Not a chance. And I'm like a pastor. I'm a professional Christian. I'm supposed to be all in on this stuff, but I love my kids. I don't want to put them through that. And I'm pretty sure there's a church in Vegas that prioritizes kids. The scary thing to me is that I think there's been a few people who have gone to drop off their kids in our nursery and had a similar experience. Not because we don't have toys. It's not because our volunteers aren't ready to give anything for these kids. They are all in for these kids, but they don't have the tools. They just don't. I've seen multiple times dropping off my kids where parents look in there and walk away with their kids. We're probably not getting them back. That's not okay. We've been called to more than that. And it's going to take all of us going all in, and I know we will. We're excited to see how God uses us to make it happen. God, I thank you for how you have moved in the past. I thank you for the faithfulness of the people who brought us to where we are. God, we pray that you would enable us to have the same kind of faith that they have, the same kind of courage that they have, to take some chances, to do some hard stuff, to get uncomfortable and go all in. Because we believe that we were recreated. We were given a new life with a new mission, and that is to lead people to you. Help us to do it well. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.